Welcome to the F-Stops Here podcast, hosted by The Portrait Paradigm. If you are a photographer who is striving to build a high-end portrait business that's not only financially rewarding, but satisfies your creative heart, then join five nationally recognized photographers with over 180 years of combined experience building and maintaining successful specialty portrait businesses. This is where we will have real conversations about all the elements to create your own upscale business, from marketing, finances, mindset, photographic style, client experience, and so much more. So together, let's cut through the noise and make this your one stop for your complete portrait photography solutions. Let's build your new portrait paradigm right now. Welcome, I'm Rod Evans, along with Monica Sigmund, Michael Taylor, Bev and Tim Walden. We are the Portrait Paradigm team, your weekly host for the F-Stops Here podcast. And we are so fortunate to have a great review again this week from Artist Eyes, who said, "Loved it. The F-Stops Here intro is excellent, and I can't wait for more." Thank you, Artist Eyes. We hope you and all of our listeners are enjoying these episodes. If you like what you are hearing, leave us a review. We might just give you a shout out on a future episode. We read and appreciate every review. On today's podcast, it's part four of a five-part series on rising above the masses. And in this episode, we're going to focus on investment worthiness. Tim, would you kick this off?
Oh, I'm happy to. I think this is a critical part of what we do. And there's a skill set that goes into the photography, but how we deliver or offer that photography to our clientele is critical. I think there's both a perceived value and a real value to photography, kind of based on how it's experienced. In other words, you know, one of the things, if you can do a lot of work, you can create an amazing image. But I think there's a real value difference when it's viewed, say, on a subway while you're having a slice of pizza versus in a living room when you're standing in front of that printed piece, telling the story of the family that's hanging on your wall. So I think, you know, being a print artist is part of that. And then the environment where it's experienced is such a key to investment worthiness. And I think being a print artist, that in itself is one of my ways that I feel that we add a investment worthiness is an understanding how to be a print master. And I would tell everyone that you're all print artists, even if you're not a print maker, because even if you don't actually make the prints, the decisions that you're making on the substrates, the prints, the editing, so to speak, the color, the composition, all of those things that you're doing used to be something that maybe you didn't do if you sent a negative off somewhere. So you're sitting there as a print artist making quality decisions, and who better to make those than the person that created and had the vision for that piece of art. So maybe someone else is doing your printing. That's fine. No problem. I know we have to pick our battles. But I think you have to also see yourself as a print artist, even if you're not making that print. And to me, that's one of the elements. It's not the only element. We'll talk about more today, but that's one of the key elements in my mind that brings the investment worthiness to the next level.
That's fantastic. Good. Yes, that is one key component, is how can we, as an artist, put ourselves into our work, you know, and elevate it. That's perfect, Tim.
Well, and I always think too that, you know, photographers have a hard time with pricing themselves, right? Because they're looking around the marketplace and seeing what other photographers in their markets are charging. And, or they think, I've been doing it less time, so I should be charging less than that person. And so I think that when you're showing the same, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, when you're showing the same kind of work that everybody else is showing, then the only thing the marketplace has to differentiate you from another photographer is price, right? Because everybody, like, we hope that they would see that our work outside looks different than and is better than some other photographers' portraits outside, but chances are they can't discern that difference, that level of technical excellence or difference. So then we have to kind of really stand out with how we're different so that they don't default and compare on price. So our style or and or product needs to be something that they can't get anyplace else. So when we launched our studio line called Black Label a few years ago, they can't get a Black Label portrait anyplace else. It's so distinct. It's so designed. It's so recognized that if you want a Black Label portrait, you have to come to Sigmund Taylor, and therefore you have to pay what we ask for it, what we charge for it. Yes. There's no, like, if you want a Mercedes, you can't go into another brand of dealership and say, well, I want a Mercedes at this price, right? So you have to create something that they cannot get anyplace else. And then therefore you can charge whatever you want. And it's investment worthy by design, by definition.
That's good.
Yeah, I think, you know, we really need to foundationally go back to what Tim said and about us being printmakers. I actually think nowadays, you know, maybe 5% of photographers are printmakers. You know, it's not in their mindset for that finished product. When digital started coming in and replacing film, you know, and we were struggling with different cameras and different sensors and all that kind of stuff. And I always felt, and I think it's true to this day, that the proof is in the print. Mm-hmm. You know, when that final print gets on the wall or in your hands or however, if when you see the tonality, the resolution, the dynamic range that's in that print, that's telling you, you know, back then and now, hey, that camera is fantastic. You know, that sensor is great, but also that finished piece of work is great. You know, PPVA, you know, moved years ago from judging prints and print competition to looking at monitors, you know, and that's, you know, I think it's the wrong path. Because that final test is how that print looks. I mean, when we go and travel and go to museums, we go to see that piece in front of us. You get that emotional reaction when you're standing there, you know, in front of Gainsborough or whatever it is, as opposed to looking in a book or looking on the internet or looking on your phone.
That's like actually Tim, a really good point.
You know, like Tim said. So, you know, foundationally, I think to be investment worthy, are you investment worthy by showing an image, by making an image for people to see on their phone? Are you investment worthy by having a great print finished piece that's hanging on the wall, sitting on someone's desk, or whatever it is? You know, and really, if you are really servicing this client, this customer, this your community, you're going to stick with them till that very end, till that print is done and finished. And you're not letting them take that file to CVS or something. You know, that's not investment worthy. It's having that print, that finished portrait, that finished piece. So that's foundationally what's important.
It's all good.
Sorry, we had a little mishap, a little microphone mishap there, a little microphone malfunction.
We didn't, but you know,
wardrobe malfunction.
Sailing across the table because I didn't buy the clamp that Rod told me
that's
about.
Great.
I was going to say, talking about going to museums, one of the best things we did was to jump into the art world. Talk to people that owned galleries, go to galleries, because a lot of times, you know, when you're in an art gallery, they're definitely selling pieces that are quite pricey. And we wanted to see what's their lingo, what's their approach, what do they do? How do they, even to the point of how do they number, you know, one of two or one of 25 or, you know, how did that work and what does it mean? And we got so many ideas about original art and even terms to use. And we started delivering part of our work that Tim hand prints with white gloves and with a certificate of authenticity. And even one of our products that he hand prints, he also prints on the paper that their prints are on, what their prints are printed on. In other words, like this is a something, something paper, and this is the origin of it. It's, you know, the company's over 400 years old, blah, blah, blah. And then we can emboss that and he hand signs. And signatures are so important. Hand signing your work. I've probably told this story before, but I collected, I've run out of room now, handcrafted ceramic pieces,
pottery,
not just mass produced, you know, by a company. And we go in any place that has pottery, I love to look at it and purchase it. Sorry. But anyway, I look for the signature. I turn it over and look for the signature, because if the artist didn't sign it, if he didn't think it was worthy, I'm not going to pay for it. It's not worthy to me then. And I literally put a piece back. We were down in
Oxford, Mississippi.
Yep. And this gentleman let us in his store. He went out to lunch and said, "Hey, just look around." We were like, okay. So anyway, we looked through all the pieces and I found one. I turned it over and there was no signature on it. And I put it back. And Tim's like, "Well, aren't you going to buy that?" And I said, the person didn't sign it. It's not worth it to me now. It's worthless. So we make sure we hand sign. But that's another part of gaining information from other businesses or other entities that may sell products that are high end like yours are. And
I think that goes to respecting your art. Because if you don't respect your art, why do you expect me to? I mean, that's the way we have to look at it. If you don't show respect for your art, what you say about it, signing it, then why would you expect me to respect it if you're going to call it a pick or a snap and you're just not going to sign it? But all of a sudden you want me to pay a big price for it? I want to see that respect. I'm going to mirror the respect that you show for the art.
Well, I think that goes back.
Tell them what DRPA is. We started DRPA.
Yeah, when I got to say, we didn't stay the course on it, but I think it's a great idea. Yeah, but a lot of our posting, we would put DRPA on the
Facebook
bottom,
or whatever.
And people would say, "What does that mean?" And I said, "It means digital replication of printed art." And so we would do that just to have an open talking point. And I got away from that. So see, now I feel
DRPA.
Bad.
That's
right. I think we all need to pick that up and start that as a hashtag.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I think too, what you're saying about, you know, go into art museums and everything else. I think we get into our own heads and in our own photography community, and we don't remember that we still have to educate. All these things are very important for us and respecting our art, but if we don't communicate the value of each of these things to our consumer, then it doesn't equal investment worthiness just because we've signed it and we know that that's important. Like, we have to then communicate that to the audience, to the consumer, that a signature is valuable because, or absolutely, the history of the paper is valuable because otherwise we just, again, are just working in a vacuum and we're not telling them that it's important. And so that we still have to explain why it is investment worthy.
That can be blog topics.
Yeah.
Or as blog topics. Emails that go out, newsletter topics.
It's layers of things.
Yeah.
From reels on social
media. Layers. Yeah. Exactly. Because they have to hear it more than once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In our studio, what I do is what you guys are all talking about, exactly the same thing is, what are artists doing and what do they do? When you go to an art gallery, what does it look like and how do they handle things and what kind of respect do they give it? And so what I do is, the pieces that I have up, I title them, put the size and what type of substrate is on the print. So it looks like, you know, it's hanging in an art gallery. And so it kind of just, I think in their mind, they're like, oh, that could be, you know, these are long lasting investment worthy pieces, you know, that have titles and substrates and are, you know, and so they're described that way in something you would invest in for a long time. along with all the other things you guys talk about, of course, you know, talk about why we chose this substrate or this product for them and for this particular style of photography, why this is so perfect for it. And it completes the piece, but it's also archival and all the things that it can be passed down through the generations. And so words matter, and how you perceive your own work does matter. Like you guys are saying, you have to think about who am I and really believe in what you're selling and say, okay, well, I'm not, you know, I didn't get this from, you know, a small whatever, you know what I mean? Like I didn't, this is the best I can do. This is the best I can give you. Right. Then you're more confident saying those words and saying those things.
You know, Rado, I think that's a skill set in itself. I mean, I think that we have multi-talents need multi-talents to get where we are. And I think, you know, capturing an image is one thing, but also understanding those things. And I would encourage everybody listening to this, not that you need to go out and get a printer, become your own printer, but you need to learn the things that will express your art in the most powerful and impactful way, mm-hmm. because the substrate you put it on makes a difference. The way I like to capture with black and white, real heavy, deep shadows, a lot of blacks and so forth, you can put it on certain substrates, it looks very veiled. You lose that richness in the shadows. And I think those skills, learning those skills, not only will make you shoot better, it'll make you feel more rewarded in what you do. And it'll also help you produce art at potential, because what you don't know can hurt you. So you can say, oh, this is fine art paper. This is great. I'll just have it printed on that. Well, that may not be the best paper for that particular style of work. Right. So it's not difficult, but it's a journey and you need to learn it. And so I think all of those things are important to something that's investment worthy.
Well, and going back to, you know, this all ties into how we feel in the sales room, right? Mm-hmm, photographers right. are so scared about bringing up any numbers at all, much less if they're high numbers, expensive numbers. And so these are all things that we have to believe in. We have to understand the value of. And for years, we've always been expensive, but the last studio location we were in, it was very nice, but it wasn't really kind of what I think we had the potential of being. We rented the space, so the landlord didn't keep up with the parking lot. I was always a little embarrassed when they came in and parked, you know, stuff like that. Rod's laughing because he's a landlord. How's your parking lot?
Yeah, I'm a slumlord.
Did you do that, Rod?
So we're okay.
But so I would always I felt a little chagrined in the sales room. Is that the right word to use? When I would say, well, this is X dollars, but I felt a little uncomfortable because I didn't feel like we were representing that level of value. And so when we went through kind of an audit of all of our processes and our location and our products and our decor, and we ended up moving locations, now I have no problem asking for the money that we ask for, because I know that we're giving the highest value that we can. And like you said, Rod, I know that the album that I am providing when they buy a coffee table book, there is no better album company than Vision Art. So I know that I can't give you anything better. So therefore, I don't have any hesitation asking for that price. Where we feel uncomfortable in the sales room is when there's that disconnect. There's a little bit of a gap, right, between what we're asking, what we're delivering. So the value of what we're giving always has to exceed the price. And then that just helps you infinitely in your confidence.
Well, I think Tim and Bev said the word respect. You know, they respect their work. That's why they're using mm-hmm. white gloves. That's why they're presenting things in a certain way. That physical piece is the culmination of their skill, their knowledge, their taste, their experience, all that. You know, when you buy a Mercedes, the CEO of Mercedes has a signature on the windshield.
He said signature in air quotes, just for those of you.
Well, I mean, it's on a decal or wherever you call it, and it's put on the windshield. You know, I'm sure he's not going to come to Alabama and go to the plant and sign every windshield, but you know.
No, I just wanted to, I didn't want us to get a bunch of comments like, tell Michael that's not a real signature.
So, but there too, you know, that's a culmination of, what is it, 100 years, 110 years of Mercedes and Dahmer, you know, being around, is the knowledge of all those engineers, is the talent, is the skill of manufacturer, it's all that. You know, the problem is a little bit, I think, especially these days, and it's always been a problem, is that we don't respect ourselves enough. It used to be way back when, you know, especially when they had view cameras and, my God, wet plates and all that, it was really hard to make an image. So you had to have skill, perseverance, money, whatever, time to just make an image to show up. Now we all make images. A 2-year-old kid will pick up a phone, make an image. So, you know, it's, we get a little squirrely sometimes about valuing ourselves and our talent and our skill and all that that goes into it. All that that goes into it, all this other stuff is great and all that, but the paper itself doesn't have value. You know, the mount board doesn't have value. It's what we do with all the processes to get to that final image that has a value, and that value is us. So, you know, I think a lot of times that word respect, we have to also respect ourselves. And that's not to be big-headed or anything like that. You can have confidence, obviously, and you need confidence, but that's a huge part of making or creating something that's investment worthy, because you have to feel it yourself and believe it yourself, so that translates to how the clients feel about that finished portrait.
Yeah.
And I think too, what I think is investment worthy may be different than, Bev, what you think is investment worthy. Like when we were talking, like you collect pottery. So maybe I think pottery is investment worthy, but maybe I don't. And so I think we can't get discouraged when we come upon a client who doesn't want to hire us, who doesn't want to commission us, because in their mind, portrait art is not investment worthy as kind of a general category. And that's fine. We all know we are luxury businesses here on this podcast and this group. And so we are not for everybody, but I go back to like what Tim and Michael are saying, we do have to respect ourselves, believe that we are investment worthy to the right client, but then communicate those points of value to that client, because they just don't know as much as we think they do.
Or they don't have that mindset. They didn't grow in that environment. They weren't with family or whatever it is, or have that gene that says, you know, art is investment worthy. Right. Years ago, I did a big project when I had a studio in Pasadena that photographed all these interesting people in Pasadena. And we had an exhibit, Kodak sponsored it, all that good kind of stuff. One of our good friends that we all know, Charles Green, who was a great photographer in England and was one of Queen Elizabeth's official photographers and did the investitures and all that and did the high-end stuff all through the United Kingdom. He decided he wanted to do a project like I did, but he decided that he wanted to photograph all the well-known people in England. So he photographed all the people we know. He calls me up one day and he's so frustrated, because he went to have a sales appointment with Richard Branson.
Wow.
And he calls me up and he says, Michael, he said my portraits are way too expensive and that he couldn't pay that for the 11 by 14 or 14 by 11, you know, as I say in England. And I was just laughing. It's just, Branson, he didn't care about the portraits. It wasn't worth it to him. He's a billionaire. He's buying islands for fun, you know, but just because you have money doesn't mean you have appreciation. So, and that's fine. You know, that's fine.
Absolutely.
We're all different.
That is a great point. Yeah. Having the resources doesn't mean you have the passion or the love. And it's the opposite is true. You know, some of our better clients, set aside money because they treasure those pieces on their wall. And they want to have something meaningful, investment worthy on their wall. And if it takes them a little while to get that done, they do it because they see that. So yeah, there's two sides to that. And you have to love those folks. I mean, those are like, I treasure people like that. It's like, 100%. Wow. Yeah, it's meaningful. Yeah.
Don't you guys think too, that part of this conversation needs to be explored about the experience side of what we do, right? Absolutely. Because there's so much of the, you know, we all have built very intentional businesses, and we have a very intentional journey through which our clients travel from point A to installation, from the inquiry to installation. And so that also has to add to this feeling of investment worthiness. Right. Who wants to talk about that for a second?
I'll talk about experience. Gosh, that's what we've centered on for years and years. And, you know, if you, not that you can let go of the technical excellence to have an investment worthy product, but everything that wraps and spins around that product needs to also repeat the same message that we're an investment worthy business. You know, we're offering a beautiful product. It is worth your investment. And that's your, gosh, that's your studio, what it looks like you were talking about, Monica, being more comfortable when your studio environment changed. And that's a big part of it. If somebody was selling me a beautiful piece of art, like on a street corner, I'd wonder, you know, about it. I mean, everything has to sing the same message that, that you are a luxury business, that you treat your clients well. I mean, we are getting into experience more and more and more. The beauty of it is, as we're not like running like chickens with our heads cut off. My cousins did that to me one time. My farm cousins, we were city cousins. They were far. Anyway,
did we mention that Bev and Tim are from Kentucky?
what could you define city cousin in Kentucky? Like, how many people is a city?
No,
in Kentucky?
Like you, Michael, my dad was military. Yeah. And so I never knew any of my relatives from the Appalachians. And my mom and dad every summer, boy, this is so off topic, would put us in the car, put us in a car and say, we're going to visit your cousins in Kentucky. And my brothers and I would go, oh, please, no. They hurt us. They do things to us that even today are not spoken. But anyway, chickens with their heads cut off run uncontrollably. So what I'm saying is, when you're so busy that you can't catch your breath, it's hard to offer really great experiences that personalize your client, you know, that are so personal for each client. And we're working on ways to stay in touch, to drop a card, to send. We just started our favorite things project, which we have friends that have businesses. And if their businesses have appropriate gifts, we're using those gifts, going and having our photo made with them, you know, in their place of business, and then making a cute little postcard that says our favorite things. And we're gifting clients at different parts of their journey, because they do wait quite a while for their signature canvases to be done. So we don't, you know, we want to let them know we're thinking about them. We haven't forgotten. And so we'll gift them something from the Our Favorite Things collection and have a little note. And it also favors people that we know that are our friends and that have businesses. But anyway, any way that you can up the experience, and we've been reading a book that talks about separating your price from your product and letting your price float freely up. The only way that you can do that is to wrap that product in so high a level of client experience that people will pay anything for it. You know, it's like, wow, the Waldens did that. They did that. They do that. Oh, wow. You know, and that creates also buzz in the marketplace and things like that. So we sit and brainstorm, what can we do? What more can we do? What can we help somebody with? What can we do next year that we're not doing this year to up the ante? So we're constantly upping the ante.
And part of that too is loving our customers. I mean, I know that's the base. That sounds like a cliche, But I tell you, it's not. The people that come in, we spend a lot of time with them. We talk to them. We get to know them. We check on their kids. The relationship goes from, it's not just like a number or a customer.
Yes.
You know, I've always said, I look at my customers like cousins. You know, it's like they're not, it's not like household.
I'd be a little
family.
Scared about that after.
Yeah, no.
We are in Kentucky. Cousins. I don't know if that's a
car. Right. That's right. But it's like a more distant family. Like you, if you know they've accomplished something, you send a note, you know, congratulations to your son who won this baseball tournament, or, you know, you're treating them like extended family. And I think, you know, that just showing that care for them too is part of that experience.
You know, it's interesting. We have a good commercial client and portrait client here in town. The company is called Pyramid Roofing. Obviously they redo roofs and gutters and things like that, you know, and they do something like this. Whenever it starts, whenever there's like rain coming through town, and the guys can't get on the roof to redo the roofs, Dan will pull it out on Facebook. Does anyone need any help moving something or taking something to the dump?
Because, just work around, like general handyman work around the house, chores.
Yeah, because he'll send his guys out to, and these people, he's put it on Facebook, so they might not even be clients.
Like no charge.
No charge.
They're on his payroll anyway.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How far do they go? I need lights changed in our ceiling that are 20 feet up.
but that mindset, right? Isn't that fantastic? You know?
It really is.
See, that's thinking out of the box. That's what we all need to do.
And he's paying him. He'd rather have him go out and get goodwill in the neighborhood than sitting in the warehouse.
That's wonderful.
You know, causing trouble.
Well, that's teaching too. That's teaching servanthood, which is
the other
important
thing I wanted to mention. And that's the perfect segue with servanthood, because I know we're getting ready to wrap up. But we are all three of us are very involved in our communities, and we take that for granted how much we give back and contribute. Because they
and if someone's watching this, there is five people here, but you know, I'm kidding, I'm joking.
Oh my God. Now you made me lose my track of thought. So we believe, I know that all of us believe that we are responsible for contributing to the communities that are supporting us. Like we have a responsibility of giving back to those communities, which allow us to do this for a living. And so, again, I think that's one of those things that we don't talk about a lot because we feel like that's not why we're doing it. But I have had the conversation with clients at different points when they're talking about, you know, you're more expensive than everybody else or whatever, or it comes up sometimes when we donate to something that's important to them. And I'll say, you know we're expensive, but when you support our business, it does allow us to put money back in the community. It allows us to go donate a half day of marketing at this nonprofit, or a half day of photography for marketing images for this nonprofit. Or they'll come in and they'll be like, oh my God, we saw that you gave free photography to this nonprofit. And I can say, you know why? Because people like you do business here. And so it allows us, we can afford to give that time. And so that's another thing that makes, I think, our studios investment worthy. So another angle of
And that could be a whole topic sometime.
Yeah, that's it would a really be a great topic. The, you know, frankly, you know, Ken Moy, who is a good friend of mine, lifetime friend, who has done marketing and stuff like that to businesses all across the country. One of the surveys they did years ago was that people said the 80% of the people said that they will deal with a business that is charitably minded. If everything else is equal. And they see that business deals with charities and nonprofits. That's who they're going to use. That makes them turn to the right or whatever it is, you know, and choose that business.
Absolutely. For me too, I think it's consistency. So we've all built these journeys or experiences for clients, but we need to make sure that we continue those at that same level or higher each time. So in the book, The Experience Economy, which has been out forever and has impacted so many businesses, and probably all of us here have read it, with Joseph Pine and James Gilmore, phenomenal book, very, you know, top 10 sell bestseller list or whatever. I just photographed the authors for their new book, that's coming out. They've just basically updated this one. But in there, they talk about, you know, a guy going in and getting a haircut. And the first time he gets it cut, he gets a warm towel. He gets a thing and he offers a refreshment and does the things. And then the next time he comes in, they forget to give him the towel. And then the next time he comes in, they don't offer him anything. And it's like, things aren't going together and things are disconnecting. And so we have to keep that consistency also. So develop a system, a journey, an experience from the product through the entire journey for the client, develop that and then continue it and then continue to make it better. So just start with what you can do and then know that you'll continue to do that and then continue to add to that experience for your clients. So yeah, it's been a great conversation.
I think that's wonderful.
Anyone else have anything else to add? Or?
You know, Bev, you referred to a book earlier, right? Do you remember the title?
No BS marketing.
Could be.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that's a great book.
Yeah.
I have it bookmarked. I literally tape it, put a little post-it pad, a little miniature one on the front page. And then I can pull off little pieces of it and write my note. This is a good page. I arrow down, underline. That's why I like to read paper books because I actually carry them and mark them and stuff. I love listening to books on long trips, but a business book I need to write in and make my own index of things to refer back to.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good.
That's where the divorcing product and price is in that book. And it was the one idea that just blew me away. I'm like, duh. So simple thought, but deep too.
This is all good.
I love it. I think that's so true that what we've been talking about, it's been so great. So let me just kind of wrap it up and say that, you know, obviously experience is critical to our businesses. And I think what the recurring theme through all of this has been interesting. As much as it's been about the experience, it's really been about ourselves liking what we do, who we are, the products that we're delivering, the settings, the experience, all the things are all connected. It all comes back to us, knowing that we are at the top of our craft, the best that we can be, and giving the best experience and the best product to our client. We'll build into that confidence. So it's interesting. It all comes full circle that we have to first know who we are, love ourselves, be confident in that, and then create that experience and fall in love with our clients. And when we do that, we want to give them our best. And so it's been interesting that theme came through. I wasn't expecting that. So it was really interesting. So this has been a great conversation. Again, this is the Portrait Paradigm team and the F-Stops Here podcast. And I'm Rod Evans and Monica Sigmund, Michael Taylor, Bev and Tim Walden. We all thank you for staying here with us. And we're excited to talk to you next week. From all of us here, your Portrait Paradigm team, thank you for joining us on this episode of the F-Stops Here. We certainly appreciate you and are here to help you on your journey to creating a portrait business of your dreams. For more information and free resources, check us out at theportraitparadigm.com. When you're at our website, feel free to send us your questions and maybe your question will be featured on a future episode. We're also on Instagram at theportraitparadigm. And please remember, if you're enjoying this podcast, help us make this podcast more visible by leaving us a review right now. It really means a lot to us. And join us next time, where we'll be discussing the importance of consistency. Until next time, be ever open to shifting your portrait paradigm.